You're listening to episode 39 of the 360 Vegas Podcast. Visit the blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The pools, the casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio. Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo.
Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
Hey, when you're at the tables, do you have any kind of superstitions or rituals or any kind of thing that you do to try and bring you some more luck?
No, none whatsoever.
None at all?
Nope.
See, the only place that I do, and I don't know if it's superstitions... I don't know if I really believe them. I just think it's kind of fun to be able to do is when I go to a craps table, I'll sort the dice in a certain way. Originally, I think I always had the name of the property facing up at me. Then it was the number that I had rolled, the point. And then, I mean, it's just evolved over time. And I don't know why. I think it's fun. Vegas Cheddar did an article about various superstitions that people do when they're in Vegas. And I just thought it was really interesting. I'm surprised you don't have anything at all.
No, I don't have any superstitions necessarily. Like, when it comes to craps, if I'm throwing the dice, I will arrange them, but it's not out of superstition. It's about trying to hit the hard ways.
Oh, okay. I got you.
But, yeah, as far as any superstitions, no, I don't have any.
Well, you're the smarter gambler then, because anybody who actually relies on any kind of superstition is forgetting that this is all a numbers game.
Yeah, that does not mean that I'm more successful.
Well.
I wish.
Right.
Yeah, definitely check out that Vegas Cheddar article. That was really cool.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yep. We've got some listener feedback this week that Mark and I are going to go over from Lori Cavara. She sent us an email, and I'll go ahead and read it, and we'll talk about it. But Lori wrote us, "Thank you for your podcast. I do enjoy the structure and format. However, I have one criticism. I don't believe I'm prude, but I have an issue with the vulgar language and homosexual comments. My husband talks to his guy friend a lot different than he addresses me and my friends, so I understand a degree of frankness that happens among men. However, you also have an audience of women who may be offended by your language and comment. I don't know if your conversations would be the same around your wives or coworkers. I download your podcast weekly. I look forward to hearing more about my favorite city, and I like your banter, but I think I would like it more without the harshness that is exhibited weekly. Thanks again, Lori."
Yeah, thanks so much for that, Lori. We've been waiting for this email since the show started.
I'm surprised that it's taken 38 episodes before we've gotten one.
Yeah, I agree. Do you want to share your thoughts first?
No, we discussed this at length, you and I. You had some really good things that you wanted to point out, and they echo a lot of my own. So why don't you go ahead and share what you thought, and I'll piggyback on anything if I feel it's necessary. I don't want to beat this into the ground by any means. So.
Right. But this is serious. This is something that you and I have spoken about at length when the show first started, and as it's continued, we've put a lot of thought into this, but we originally did have concerns about that. If you listen to our first couple shows, you'll notice that we don't swear nearly as much as what we do now on the show, because we were concerned that it would hurt the ability to grow our show to a mass audience, as well as get sponsors. But eventually we decided that we weren't acting like ourselves, and it really felt fake. So we made the conscious decision to just be ourselves on the show and have fun, and accept that our language and our sense of humor is not going to appeal to...
Not going to appeal to everybody.
Right, exactly.
We knew that.
And, yeah, and we finally just accepted it. It's also why you don't hear us swear in the Vintage Vegas segments, because we intentionally want those to reach a broader audience. But we felt the weekly show, we wanted it to feel like friends, having a good time together and just talking about Vegas.
Exactly.
The truth is, we do act and talk exactly like this around our wives, friends, and family.
Now, if not worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if not worse.
To me, it feels like I'm lying when I act differently around people than I do around, my wife, my friends, family. It feels like I'm being fake. So I everybody has their own little idiosyncrasies. And these just happen to be ours. And you learn to accept them or you don't. And it's something like learning to accept who you are as a person, you know.
It's kind of, this was actually one of the ways Mark and I became friends, and it turns out that we were coworkers, and that's how we met.
Right, right.
And we just kind of hit it off because we were this way, and we were who we are, and we found that we, you know, had fun being, you know, ourselves around each other, and that's kind of what led, you know, to us eventually doing a show.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you learn to accept it at some point in your life. You learn to accept your flaws as a person, and once you do that, it's really kind of freeing, and I think that's what helped you and I's friendship to happen, is we realized, you know, both that our personalities and our sense of humor and just who we are as people are very similar. And we're, what are we, 5-7 years difference in age?
Yeah, about 7 years.
Yeah, so I would say of the two of us, you're by far the more mature, because you came to that much earlier than I ever did. But we were both at that place when we finally met each other. So
yeah.
Now, of course, we don't act like this like we do on the show when we're at work, but that's because our employment is conditional on, you know, wearing a certain attire, showing up at a certain time, and acting a certain way. When we made the conscious decision to act like we are, we felt like it was kind of bearing our souls. Like it was, you know what, here you go. This is who we are. We know people are going to hate it at some point. I'm, like Brian said, we're shocked that it took this long for someone to say something about it. But it's, we accepted that. We knew people weren't going to like our show for various reasons. And once we kind of accepted that, we knew that being ourselves, we might as well be that. Because if people hate the show, and it's, then you start having that conversation, be like, I wonder if they'd hate it if we were acting like ourselves, you know, and you start to second guess yourself. But
I don't think the show would be, I mean, we've built up quite the listener base in a very short period of time, and it is being that way. It is being ourselves. And, you know, you see it in other people too, like Matt and Daz, who do our Annie Up segment, and they're just like us. You know, their sense of humor is very similar to ours. And, you know, a lot of our listeners, you know, appreciate our honesty, our frankness, like you had mentioned in your email, Lori, and, you know, kind of us just being uncensored, you know, like, hey, these guys are just telling it the way they see it. I may not agree, but, you know, that is what it is, you know.
Now, a couple of the things that I had thought about specifically as we were making the decision to be who we are is that Brian and I realized that we're really big proponents of the desensitizing words rather than empowering them. And the only real way to do that is exposure. I mean, if you think about the things that you say and do today, you couldn't have done those in the 20s, you know, but time has allowed, you know, people to become desensitized to many, many things. And while some people will argue that that's not good, we disagree. Now, regarding our sense of humor, I've always found the inappropriate and the unexpected hilarious, but...
And the inappropriate and unexpected are the things I find the most humorous.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think it says something to the absurdity of life, you know, and when those kind of horrific things that we find funny happen, I think it's almost like a defense mechanism in us where we're like, this is so bad, the only proper way to react to this is to just make fun of it, to just laugh, because there's nothing you and I can do to change any of this, so let's just move forward, you know.
Yeah, instead of being all doom and gloom about it, mm-hmm. and making a bad situation worse by stewing on it and stuff, just make fun of it, just fucking, you know,
yeah.
Just do whatever you got to do just to, you know, try to make it, you know, better for yourself if, you know, there's no other way.
Yeah, it's like mocking it. You know, it's like you can't fight back against it. You can't be sad about it. Like, there's nothing you can do emotionally other than mocking it. You know, I guess it kind of makes us feel like we have a little more power when it comes to things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, regarding our homoerotic sense of humor, we are huge proponents of gay rights.
We have lots of gay friends.
Yes, huge, huge. All right, I was getting ready to do a joke, and then I'm going to bail on it because I want to be serious in this. I personally find it amusing how some people will claim that they don't have a problem with homosexuality, but if someone accuses them of being gay or you know, participating in gay acts,
yeah,
they get
like
really defensive about it, really uptight about it. Personally, I think this stems from the myth that people become gay instead of being born gay. And then I think what happens is heterosexual men who don't accept that people are born gay, they look at people who are married for 20 years and then come out of the closet, and I think they have this innate fear that they may one day just wake up and realize that they're gay, which is absolutely ridiculous. The truth is, the guy that was married for 20 years, he was gay all along. It just took him 20 years to accept it. I think our humor makes fun of that behavior. I guess, unfortunately, the summary is that we're not going to be able to change it for you, Lori. It's who we are as people. We've learned to accept it, good, bad, or indifferent. We know that it's not going to be accepted by a lot of people, and we know that it's going to prevent us from... It's going to limit the people that we can grow our show to, and we've just learned to accept it. So we really, really appreciate that you sent us this letter and completely understand where you're coming from. Brian and I had made the conscious decision quite a while ago that we weren't ever going to bring this up until somebody else did.
We didn't want to sound like those guys that we're going to defend what we say, because we don't really feel like we need to defend it.
Right.
What we're doing here is we're extending, I guess, an olive branch to you, and you know, and not only thanking you for reaching out to us and letting us know, because this tells me that, you know, hey, I really like the show and I want to make it better because I like it that much.
Right.
You know, these are things that I'd like to change. But, you know, we think that the show is as good as it is, and people do enjoy it for what it is because of the way we do it. We do it our way. We're not going to certainly shit on any, you know, whatever people think of the show. Everybody's got their own opinion, and that's perfectly fine. We respect it, but we feel like it's moving in the right direction because for that very reason.
Right. And believe it or not, we do actually censor ourselves. There are many times that we, in post-production, will remove conversations or jokes from the show, even if we think they're hilarious, because we think that they would offend most people. And even if
we know we're not like most people,
right? Exactly.
Our sense of humor is very, you know, we walk the line on a lot of things, and
we cross the line on a lot of things.
We take the line, we shit on it, and then we burn it,
right?
And then we keep moving,
and then we piss on it,
yeah,
because we don't want the fire to spread,
right? No,
but our intent is to be funny. Brian and I are huge believers in intent. I mean, you could say some pretty horrific things to us, and if we honestly believe that your intent is to be funny, you can get away with it. It's you know, it doesn't really bother us. But
All
that being said, now I really want to know what kind of humor could we add to the show that would appeal to women.
Here's the thing with that. I've got, you know, straight women friends. I've had gay female friends in the past. People seem to be drawn to me because of my sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, it's certainly not going to appeal to everybody.
Right.
You know, we've got very unique brands of humor. We you know, we cross and demolish the line completely. My wife thinks I'm fucking hilarious.
Right. Yeah. And mine as well. Although mine at this point only rolls her eyes and throws a grin like, oh, Mark.
Yeah. I think mine is starting to go that way. But, you know, I've always, you know, gotten a good, nobody can make my wife laugh like I seem to.
No, I can vouch for that.
So I don't know. That's the thing. That's where it's hard, because not everybody is the same. And I'm sure you are very well aware of that. But that kind of makes it difficult for us, because we're in a position. Well, you know, we've got a pretty big listener base now, and we're continuing to grow. You know, every week we're getting more and more. And,
right. You
know, that's kind of telling us that, hey, you're doing something the right way. So
Right. Everything
said, I think our general message is, you know, we really appreciate it. We understand. We're sorry if we are crossing a line for you, but you know, we are going to continue to do things the way we are, because these are the kind of people that we are.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of show that we want to do.
Thank you so much for the feedback, Lori.
And we hope you continue to listen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But all that said, let's get back into some fun.
Yeah, some people are ready to move on.
I know, right? Well, that's why we have chapters. If this got annoying, switch to the next chapter. Well, that's only if you're doing the enhanced podcast, so there you go.
Yeah, now that the chapter's over and you know that you can...
I know, now... Now that you had to go through all that.
Yeah. All right, random Vegas, what do you got?
All right. Nevada's slot base has shrunk from 217,222 machines in 2001 to 187,372 today. Now, that reduction means the state of Nevada gets $9.9 million less in license fees per year. Ouch.
Wow.
That's really surprising that the slot floor has been reduced. Why do you think that is?
I was going to ask you the same thing.
My only guess.
I have no idea.
My only guess would be cost savings.
Overhead.
That they're not putting as many slots out there, because then you have to continue to pay for more. So I think what it is, because a lot of, you know, you swap these things out seasonally as new games come in. So I think what happens is, instead of replacing everything that you had on the floor, I think now you just go, we'll just take that and that, you know, and then that's all we're going to do. So that's my hunch as to why it's happening. But
I'm going to throw one out there. And, you know, obviously we don't live in Vegas. We don't live anywhere near Vegas. And we only go a couple times a year. So it might just be because of the time of year that we choose to visit.
Mm-hmm.
That said, it could be, you know, that it's just they're starting to see, the casinos are starting to see more and more that, hey, we don't need all these. You know, the couple times that we were there, I know we were there twice and within a few months last year. And both times I went, I would walk the floor, and I would say that half or less were actually in use.
That's a really good point. I didn't think of that. Maybe it really is that they're learning that quality is what's more important and not quantity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems like you see the same people around the same machines all the time.
Too. Yeah.
You know, you see people around video poker, and, you know, you're starting to see people, you know, fewer people playing, you know, other slots. Then you see a pile of fucking people practically in line at some of the
right.
games, like Dark Knight and
in
games like that. But,
right.
you know, you got people that play their favorites. And maybe that goes back to, like, we opened up the show with is, you know, superstitious. People, you know, they win on a game and they stick to it because that's their superstition.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Yeah.
I don't know. I could be way off. I don't know. But
no, but it's thought provoking. And that's the point. Yeah.
Where did that come from, Dr. Dave?
It did come from Dr. Dave at UNLV.
I bet you he would have a good idea as to why.
I'm pretty sure he knows exactly why.
Yeah.
That's why
I'd
he's
be curious
Dr.
to
Dave.
Know.
That is a good point. I think I'll actually ask him.
Yeah. Let's.
Yes.
Let's ask him. Let's ask Dr. Dave.
We'll do that.
Oh, we need to make that a portion of the show. We need to make that a segment. Ask
Holy
Dr.
shit,
Dave.
That's a great idea.
I wonder if he would participate.
I'll bet you would. He's that kind of guy. He's pretty awesome.
All right, cool. Well, let's see if we can do that.
All right, definitely. All right, I'll reach out to him.
Then we've got our Vegas Mate Review of the Week.
This week's Review of the Week comes from John from Minnesota. His March 12th review of Monte Carlo, he gave them 4 out of 5 chips.
Yep, John wrote, booked the stay at the Monte Carlo for the end of January through the M Life website and got a very good deal, even with the resort fees. My room was decent, nothing great, but I only spend 4 to 5 hours per night in the room, so who cares? The casino is the reason that I enjoy the Monte Carlo and will stay there again. The drink service was lacking, and after midnight, the place becomes a hooker fest, quote unquote. But besides those two issues, the casino has a good feel. The location is solid, with a tram connecting to Aria and Bellagio. Overall, I felt that I got value staying at the Monte Carlo and would do so again.
Nice review.
I completely agree about the drink service being, you know, feeling like it's lacking a bit when I was there.
It's disappointing.
Both times last year.
Yeah, it's disappointing that that's still going on. I know we've spoke with our friends at Monte Carlo about the situation. They said that they're addressing it, but it's disappointing to hear that that's still going on. But I guess, you know, Rome isn't built in a day.
Yeah. Neither is drink service.
Right, apparently. And there's the correlation.
And then we've got our Twit Pick of the Week winner.
This week's winner goes to @DribbleGlass for his picture of the casino floor at M Resort. This photo is specifically of a table games area at the property, but it also grabs a nice sampling of the rest of the casino floor and shows just how beautiful that space is. Personally, I don't really like to stay off strip, even staying at places like Rio, which I think is a great place. I really like the Rio, but
I do too.
I feel like I'm out of the loop when I stay there, but I feel like I'm kind of missing the action when I do it. Maybe it's just because I'm too lazy to keep getting on a tram, or maybe it's because I like to wander right from the action right into my my resort. But that being said, I would totally entertain staying at M for a night or two. I absolutely love that property. It is hands down the nicest locals property I've ever seen. If you have a car and you're in Vegas, I highly recommend you check it out.
Yeah, we've always seen good things coming from M.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is great. It's a good picture, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, Dribble, well, you didn't take it.
I know. I thought that the second I said it, and I was hoping you'd call me out on that. I apologize.
Well, you know, Dribble Glass is at risk of being banned from winning any more Twit Pick of the Week.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
Yeah. As always, we will link to it on our blog. We will put it on our Flickr page, feature it on our Facebook page, as well as the enhanced version of the podcast.
Yep.
All right, let's move into news. Fitzgerald's is now the D Las Vegas.
The speculation was confirmed this week that Fitzgerald will be renamed the D Las Vegas, and the title for worst property name in Vegas has a new home.
Yeah, we thought LVH was bad. This is absolutely terrible.
Yeah, at least LVH stands for something. This is, you know, I really hope it's one of those things where I hate it now, but it grows on me, but I doubt it.
I doubt it.
It's just
yeah.
awful.
Not seeing it.
Yeah. Now, the name is said to represent Downtown Vegas, the owner Derek Stevens, as well as his hometown of Detroit. Apparently, his friends also refer to him as D. So,
wow, ego tripping, huh?
Yeah, why not name a property after that? But
he owns it; he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, well, I just assumed that the D was his grade in school for creativity. But you know what, though, in a world where people get millions of dollars for spilling hot coffee on themselves, I can't imagine how difficult it is to come up with a name for anything that isn't owned by some fucking domain name squatter dreaming of his big payday or something. But in all honesty, I was never really thrilled about the name 360 Vegas, but now, you know, I'm quite fond of it now. I mean, but I had to embrace it, which is what I'm hoping is going to happen with the D, but I still...
Yeah, trying to name this show is a pain in the dick, man.
Yeah, I apologize, and I think it's because I saw what 500 did, and I thought that was so clever, and I wanted to do something like that, and I just couldn't. And then, you know, if I recall, you came up with 360 Vegas very early on, and it was one of those ones that I was like, no, I like that, but let's put it on the back burner. And then, like, 2 months later, we came back to it, and I'm like, yeah, I got nothing.
We have no other choice. Right. I mean, I'm not a tremendously creative person either. I like to take good ideas that people have and try to make them better. That's what I do. But I liked it. I don't know.
I absolutely love it.
We both threw several ideas out there, and
right,
they're grinding away at that for a while. But anyway, yeah, back to the story.
Yeah. Now, someone else agreed with us. Our friend at VegasCasinoInfo.com expressed his concern that if they rename Imperial Palace the IP, that he may have to eat a bullet. That being said, I'm still excited about the changes that they're making at the property, and I'm really looking forward to checking it out the next time we are in Las Vegas. You know what maybe I'll do? Maybe I'll do like what they did in Chicago, where I refuse to call Soldier Field anything other than Soldier Field. I know it's got some other name or some sponsor, and I'm like, nope, not calling it that.
Oh, yeah.
No. So
I'm gonna call it the Dick.
The Dick. Hey, there were many a douchebag jokes made when that announcement was made. So
yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. Disappointing, but good stuff going into the property. So let's look at the silver lining, I guess.
Yeah. Next item on our list for this week is the Jabberwocky Show at Monte Carlo has been extended until April 21st.
Yeah, the run date was originally set for the end of March because the theater needs to undergo some construction to get ready for the Blue Man Group coming in. The planned construction timeline has now been condensed, so rather than have the theater dark longer than necessary, mm-hmm. Jabberwocky's run has been extended. There's still no word on what's going to happen to them after their residency ends at the Monte Carlo. I still think there's a place for them in Vegas. It's disappointing that you're not hearing a buzz anywhere else. So
they seem to have somewhat of a following, though, don't they?
Right. I just got a gut feeling that they're going to go away, and I think that's a shame.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll go to New York or some other major market and have a residency there.
There you go.
Next up is Caesars Properties are charging more for beds.
Yeah, Vegas Cheddar did a story about a new pricing structure at Caesars Entertainment Properties. You now get charged more for a room with two beds as opposed to a single bed. The additional cost is anywhere from $10 to $90 per night, depending on, you know, the property and the day of the week. When I first read this, it made me really mad, but the more I started to think about it, it does kind of make sense. I mean, how many times have, you know, people say that they only have one or two people staying in the room when they actually have four?
Yeah, they're losing out on a lot of money by not charging more. It's aggravating when you think about it, because most of us have just grown accustomed to either not having to worry about thinking about it, or we've taken advantage of it, and now we're pissed that we actually have to pony up the extra dough for it.
Yeah, Vegas Chatter actually likened the upcharge to a brief period when you were charged extra for a non-smoking room, and I actually never had a problem with that fee. I understood that it's difficult to have less rooms, especially in Vegas, that for smokers to occupy, so I never had a problem with that one either. But don't get me wrong, of course I don't want to pay anything extra for these things. I'd rather not pay for my room at all, but you know, the property doesn't see a financial gain from giving me a room, and I respect that. That's why they don't give me a room. So if they feel like they're getting fucked over by people who are not using these rooms enough, or are not reporting all the people using those rooms, then I completely understand this. But at some point, you have to understand that this is a business, and their job is to make money. And this was the case even when the mob ran things, so you can't even make that argument. Now, as long as they have plenty of single bedrooms to go around, I don't have a problem with this fee at all. I mean, it sucks, but it makes sense. However, if I'm forced to upgrade to a double because the singles are all sold out, I'm going to have a problem with that. If they don't have nearly the selection of them, and that's something that always ends up selling out, you know, then I'm going to have an issue with it. In all honesty, I think if that does become the case, it makes the resort fees that MGM and various other properties charge a lot easier to swallow.
I can't honestly see them doing that. You know, if you booked a room and you said that you've only got one or two guests staying in it, and you just want one bed, and that's what you paid for up front, but you get there and then they say, oh, they're sold out, they don't really have much of a choice but to give you a room with two beds at no additional charge.
Right. No, and I completely agree with you, and I think that's what would happen. I just want to make it clear that I'm cool with this fee all the way up until the time that I start getting fucked out of it because they're constantly sold out, and my only choice is to pay for a more expensive double bed. Yeah. Then I'll start having an issue with it.
Right. Yeah, I can't complain too much about this either. The last few times I've stayed at a Caesars property, I think I've spent like $20 on a weekend worth of rooms. So
right.
It is what it is.
Right.
Las Vegas Sun has reported that the Laugh Factory will be setting up shop at the Tropicana. This is good news.
Yeah, the people behind the Laugh Factory said they plan to put on a monthly superstar comedy concert. They're going to do specials there, series there, reality shows, as well as the DirecTV-only Laugh Factory's Supreme Court of Comedy. They also plan to set up a comedy wall of fame and a stand-up comedy interactive museum. Now, there's no word when the Laugh Factory will be opening up at the Trop, but that all sounds pretty cool.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck. I hope
that
works out.
I was very pleased with the Trop the last time I was there. I liked it. Good stuff.
Yes. Good stuff.
The saga continues at City Center.
Yeah,
what do we have for this show?
All right. The Harmon builder, Perini, said this week that they could do a temporary fix on the building that would keep it standing in the event of an earthquake.
They're going to shim it.
They said that it would only take 6 to 8 weeks, and it would only cost $2 million.
I like when people say only and then $2 million in the same sentence. That makes me laugh a lot.
It's a good point. MGM, of course, still prefers the $30 million solution of imploding the fucker.
Also a good option.
Right. And amusing at the same time. You know, you get a little bit of enjoyment, a little dinner and a show, if you will.
Absolutely.
Now, the court is still deciding what it is that they want to do, but we still believe that the building is worth more to MGM dead than alive. And to support this belief is a statement by an MGM spokesman, Gordon Abschner, who said, quote, "Perini had plenty of time and opportunity to repair the Harmon. The fastest, surest, and best way to protect the public safety is to demolish the building." We still stick by our belief. Doesn't that sound like the kind of shit that when you're in an argument with somebody and they make a point that you can't argue anymore, so you just go back to your original argument?
And then that's it. The end of the discussion. I'm
right.
Sticking with that.
I know. We're just going to have to agree to disagree. Yeah. No, I don't think so.
You lose, sir.
That's right. You have to accept defeat. Walk with your head down. Tail between your legs.
Yes.
Covering
the genitals.
Right. It's important. It's important.
That's a De Niro quote.
Right. Oh. Now, Vegas Tripping posted some leaked photos of the inside of the Harmon, and it actually looks exactly like you think the inside of a building that construction wasn't completed on would look like. In fact, if I didn't tell you it was the Harmon, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't know that it was.
It literally looks like a construction site.
I know, right?
Imagine that.
Shocker.
And then in our final news story for this week's show, the Golden Nugget guest room arson story.
This is really interesting. Golden Nugget had a fire last Thursday at 8:26 a.m. on the 22nd floor of the Rush Tower, and it has now been determined that was caused by arson.
Those damn arsonists.
Right. The firefighters had the fire extinguished in about a half an hour, and there was one victim found in the room where the fire originated. However, it was on a floor that was off limits to the public. Now, the 22nd through the 24th floors are currently under refurbishment. They are unoccupied by guests, and they don't have any furniture or fixtures in them. This specific room was being used for storage, and it had some bedding materials in it. Now, especially suspicious is how the man got into a room that firefighters needed a key card to unlock to get to.
Sounds like an inside job.
Yes, very much. Now, the victim was found yelling from behind the locked room.
I don't know how I got in here.
Right.
Help.
Where am I?
There are no moist towels in here.
Right. I was just looking for a bathroom.
I just wanted to get change for this dollar.
Right. Nice. Where's the goddamn ice machine? But the firefighters were able to get to the man, who was then transported to the hospital in critical condition. 50 people with rooms in the proximity were evacuated as a precaution. And the firefighters credited the Golden Nugget sprinkler system with containing the fire from spreading beyond the point of origin in that one room. That's some fucked up shit. And how can you think that it's anything other than an inside job?
I don't see how it's possible. I mean, if it's off limits, and, you know, people don't just wander up there, you know, why would you go up to the 22nd or 23rd or 24th floor just because, you know, right. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, I don't want to speculate anything outrageous, but one of the first ideas that popped in my head was a potential suicide attempt by maybe a construction guy, because who else would know that on the 22nd floor, in this room, there's bedding, you know, it's, you know, knowing that it's off limits to people. Who else would know something like that?
And more importantly, who would be able to get in there?
Right, right. So
without some sort of special access or special credentials or something like that. Because, you know, they said that firefighters needed a key card to get in. They couldn't even just get in normally.
You know, and this is actually at the new Rush Tower, which a lot of the new resorts, if you are in certain floors, they just turn them off. You can't get to them unless you have a card that allows you access to them. So I wonder if that's the case with the Rush Tower. It is the newest tower that Golden Nugget has. So
yep.
I don't know. It's really interesting. We'll definitely share details as they become available.
Hmm. Raises an eyebrow.
Yes, it does.
Very curious. We do have some prop bets for you this week. If you're not familiar with prop bets, they are just additional nuggets of information noteworthy enough for the show. The first one for this week, the Las Vegas Advisor is reporting that Okada, the former restaurant at Wynn named after its former partner, will reopen in May as Otaki with some menu changes, too.
Body English at Hard Rock is having an open casting call on Thursday, March 22nd for servers, hosts, cashiers, AMG, and bartender positions. Do you have any idea what AMG is?
No clue.
Yeah, none.
No clue. If you're interested, you can. If you're an AMG or an aspiring AMG, you can.
Aspiring AMG.
Whiskey liquor bar at Binion's is now open. Yep. In case you're wondering.
In case you were wondering pretty much, going, where the fuck is the liquor?
Where is the whiskey liquor bar?
Right, right.
Looking for the whiskey liquor.
The Playboy Club is closing in June of this year. I don't think this is really a surprise to anybody. The Playboy Comedy Club closed at the beginning of the year, and then before that, Palms fired all the Playboy Bunny dealers. So the Playboy / Palms partnership lasted 6 years, which is really surprising to me. I didn't think that thing was going to last a year or two. I thought the Playboy brand... Actually, the second they revealed that they were partnering with Playboy is the moment I realized, I'm like, isn't that brand dead?
Yeah, it's on its way. The internets have killed it.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, there you go. It's gone. Shocker.
And finally, Vegas Tripping shared some leaked, quote-unquote leaked, plans for the new Caesars buffet. The only item we saw that could be considered different from other buffets would be the inclusion of barbecue. Honestly, we don't know if other buffets have barbecue. We don't think we've ever... No, I really don't think you could refer this addition as a game-changing idea that they claim to have achieved here.
No, absolutely not.
Nope. So that's it for news and prop bets. Let's move on to Playing Vegas. Got a list of performances coming up for you if you're going to be in Vegas for this week. For Monday and Tuesday, Chaz Palminteri is performing A Bronx Tale at the Mirage. That show's going to start at 7:30, and tickets will range from $50 to $80.
Thursday through Sunday, Frank Caliendo is at the Venetian. His show's going to start at 9 p.m. Tickets run $60 to $146.
And for Friday, Ani DeFranco is at the Hard Rock Cafe on the Strip. That show's going to start at 8 p.m., and tickets will be $35. Five Finger Death Punch is at the Joint at Hard Rock. That show's going to start at 8, and tickets will be $28. And Seth Meyers is performing at the Mirage. That show's going to start at 10 p.m. Tickets will be ranging from $40 to $70.
On Saturday, Funkapalooza featuring George Clinton and more is at Planet Hollywood. That show is going to start at 8 p.m. Tickets run $56 to $111. And Kevin Hart is performing at Mandalay Bay. His show is going to start at 8 p.m. Tickets run $32 to $86.
Kevin Hart's got a really, really obnoxious promotional commercial that plays on the radio down here in Orlando.
Really?
Yeah. It makes me not want to see his live performance ever.
Yet another thing that you and I are very similar about. We can have lukewarm feelings towards somebody. You know, like, I like Kevin Hart, I guess. I don't have anything against him.
You know,
I think
I've seen him
funny.
In movies, and his roles in movies have been okay, but right. I don't have a lot of faith in his stand-up.
Right. You and I very much can be swayed by shitty marketing. Like a bad commercial can totally turn me off. Like, fuck that guy. I'm not going to go see that. Why would you participate in such a shitty advertising campaign? Yeah. So
selling out.
You need to think about that, Kevin. Think about it good and hard.
Long and hard.
That's right. Mm.
And closing out Playing Vegas for this week, Saturday and Sunday, Don Rickles is at the Orleans. Show starts at 8 p.m., and tickets will be ranging from $88 to $110. $88 to $110 for Don Rickles. You know, I didn't even know he was still alive.
You know what? It's really surprising Don's able to pull those numbers, but, man, more power to him. I mean, the guy
He's pulling those numbers while he's pulling his oxygen tank.
We don't know that for sure, but that's what we heard.
No, I have no idea. Yeah. I'm just trying to be funny.
I know. Well done, though.
Thank
Don
you.
Rickles. Well, you and Don Rickles.
Yeah, yeah.
You more.
Hats off to Don Rickles. Right. He's old as fuck and he's rich as hell. So.
I know, right? Well done.
Yep. That's going to do it for Playing Vegas and my bad jokes. Let's move on to slots and jackpots. This week for our slot segment, we've got IGT's Amazing Race Machine. The IGT's Amazing Race is a 5-reel, 50-payline game with a 300-credit max bet. There are 4 progressive jackpots and 3 bonus rounds in this game. The slot bank is fitted with multiple LDC layers and surround sound seating grouped in a 4-player slot machine bank. Voiceover and video from the show's host, Paul Kogan, helps guide you through the game. All bonus and base play games are modeled on the show. In the base game, the end-to-end feature creates an added plus as stack symbols on separate reels transform the symbols in between to the same icon, creating big credit wins. The game is designed to create the feeling that the players are competing against each other in a race around the world. However, since this is a slot and the results are completely random, all player decisions create a positive outcome.
Let's talk about the bonus rounds. The first one is the ticket challenge bonus. It's a group play bonus where all players dig through a pile of sand searching for tickets. As the timer counts down, the ticket value decreases, but accumulated credits increase until the ticket is discovered.
The Around the World instant bonus occurs randomly during base game play. A plane flies around the spinning Earth, rewarding a multiplier and bonus credit values, which are applied to any line wins from the current base game spin.
The group challenge bonus is triggered by hitting 3 scattered Amazing Race icons on the reels. Each player is awarded 5 free games in which you accumulate miles and credits that advance you in the continental race. To advance in this bonus, you must find mileage meters, which increase your travel distance. For each destination you reach, you win its corresponding progressive and 5 additional free spins towards the next leg of the race. As an added plus, during this bonus round, you may randomly be awarded a detour. In this, you are offered tickets with either credit values, extra miles to contribute to the mileage meters, or fast forwards, which advance you straight to the next destination and its corresponding progressive. You must select from the tickets until you find 2 matching symbols, then you are given the award. And that's IGT's Amazing Race.
Yep. We want to thank one of our biggest contributors, Matt, from our Annie Up segment for preparing the slot segment for us. Thank you as always, sir. We appreciate your contributions.
Yes, thank you.
Yep. Make sure you guys check out the slots page on our blog for these details, as well as a video of the game in action. And then moving on to our jackpot segment. Very short, unfortunately, again this week.
Wow, this month has just been anemic.
Yeah, it really has. Mm. Again, for those of you unfamiliar, our jackpot segment is comprised of Twitter-only reported jackpots. We don't use any other outlets of information to get these. But for Tuesday, March the 13th, TI reported a $25,000 jackpot on a top dollar slot, as well as a $12,000 jackpot on a triple diamond slot.
Palms reported a $12,000 jackpot on a Super Times pay poker machine.
And also for Tuesday, Bill's Gambling Hall reported a $361,000 jackpot on a quarter Wheel of Fortune machine.
On Wednesday, March 14th, Rio reported a $26,800 jackpot on a Super Times video poker game.
And for Thursday, March 15th, Planet Hollywood reported a $57,865 jackpot on a $1 Monte Carlo slot.
Yeah, we still don't have much of a leaderboard, so we're not going to bother reporting one to you. But if you're interested, the numbers are available on the jackpots page of the blog. Do you think the anemic slot numbers have anything to do with March Madness?
It could be. It could be.
See,
I'm honestly not sure. I don't really have much of a thought on that, but it could be, I guess.
Right. See, I originally thought that maybe they dialed up You know, they made the machines a little bit tighter, but Karen brought up an interesting point that maybe it's just because nobody's playing them.
That could be. Yeah, that definitely could be. Because, you know, the sports books are fucking packed.
Oh, they're madhouses right now.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yep. Anyway, that's going to do it for jackpots and slots. Let's move on to Vegas deals. Some really terrific affiliate deals for you this week in Vegas deals. The first one is from the Flamingo. Now, just as a reminder, affiliate deals, we do have a financial relationship with these properties, so we do get some kickbacks if you book via our blog. The deal from Flamingo is called the Summer Fabulous Package. Room rates start at $58 for a deluxe room, $68 for a fab room, and then $88 for a go room per night. This includes $25 poolside food and drink credit. You have to book minimum 2-night stay to get the deal.
Our next affiliate deal is from Half Price Tickets. This week we're going to talk about Jonathan Clark, the Impressionist. And we've talked about Jonathan Clark in the past, but now that we have a financial incentive to do it again, we're going to go into a little more detail.
Now, we want to earn it.
Right. First off, he's British, and I don't know a man, woman, or big cat that doesn't get wet at the sound of a British accent, so that can work on a lot of levels there. Now, second, one of the complaints that people have about Impressionists is how dated many of their impressions are. Now, on the other side of that coin, Danny Gans was one of the most popular entertainers in Vegas for a ton of years. Jonathan Clark covers both ends of that spectrum. He does impressions of modern names like Coldplay, CeeLo Green, and characters from Family Guy. And he also does classics like Sinatra, Tony Bennett, and Bruce Springsteen. Now, honestly, Brian and I haven't seen the show, and it doesn't have any reviews on Rate Vegas, so we don't know if he's any good, but
we don't have an educated opinion whatsoever on
right.
this guy.
But I can honestly say I'm really interested in seeing him. I never got a chance to check out Danny Gans, and Gordy Brown is downtown at the Golden Nugget, and when I go down to Fremont Street, I don't go to see a show, I mean, except for the Freaks on Parade. But
yeah, and that's free.
Right, exactly. Now, of course, if either of us see the show, we'll bring you a full review on our show. However, if you're interested in checking it out, his show is at the Riviera Thursday through Sunday. The show starts at 9 p.m. Tickets are normally $33 for general admission and $55 for VIP. However, if you get them through us, the general admission is $17. VIP is $28. So even VIP is less than your standard general admission ticket if you get them through us. I am genuinely interested in seeing this guy, and I love the things that Riviera's been doing to their entertainment options. So.
Yep, and for the sake of honesty, I'm not really interested, but I would see it for the sake of the show.
Fair enough.
Yep, just keeping it real here. Just keeping it real. Yep. And, you know, keeping with that mindset, again, the affiliate deals, we do have a financial relationship. I want to be totally clear about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that way we're not trying to sneak anything around. You know, if you guys book through us, we put these in deals because ultimately they do save you money, but at the same time, we can potentially get a couple bucks too. So
right.
We're all winners here.
Right, everybody.
All parties involved. On to some non-affiliate deals. M Resort's Easter to Go dinner. This one's kind of cool. M Resort has two options for you for Easter to Go. There's two packages. The first of which is a $140 package, serves 10 people, and includes for main courses baked mustard and honey glazed ham, raisin sauce, Red Bliss mashed potatoes, maple cranberry baked sweet potatoes, creamed spinach with aged parmesan, braised button mushrooms, parsley and garlic, orange glazed baby carrots, and hot cross buns and honey butter. We talked about those hot cross buns. Well, actually, you did with Matt.
Yeah, incredibly disturbing.
Yeah, I also find that just a little odd, but apparently it's pretty standard.
Right.
And then the $190 package is the second of the two. Now, this one includes roasted prime rib of beef, creamed horseradish and au jus, Red Bliss mashed potatoes, maple cranberry baked sweet potatoes, the creamed spinach with aged parmesan, braised button mushrooms, parsley and garlic, orange glazed baby carrots, hot cross buns, and honey butter. So pretty much the only difference is your meat. The meat is a little better. So you know, that's where you're seeing the increase in the price. But they both serve up to 10 people. They also come with soup and dessert. The soup is tomato bisque, and then you get two desserts, the chocolate hazelnut cake and lemon raspberry cupcakes. We will provide a link on the blog with details if you're interested in ordering said meal.
Yeah, people really like when we share the special meal offerings that the various Vegas properties have.
I like bringing it.
Yeah. The next one we want to talk about is LVH's Escape to Vegas deal. Now, their rates are going to start at $40 per night. You get two passes to their breakfast buffet, two free welcome cocktails, two entries to the fitness center. Won't use them. 15% discount at the Paradise gift shop, and $100 in dining deal coupons. If you book by Thursday, March 22nd, you will also get a comped late checkout, and that would be at 2 p.m. The deal is valid now through June 30th, and as a reminder, LVH does not charge a resort fee.
You know, I'm really digging some of these deals that are including the late checkout. That's really, really valuable to me.
I couldn't agree with you more. I've realized in my last several trips that I've had to request a late checkout for one reason
or another. It's tremendous. It's tremendous.
Yeah.
Next one is New York limited time offer. These rates start at $44 to $90 for weekdays and then $140 to $250 on the weekends. You get 2-for-1 tickets to Zumanity of the $100 variety, 2-for-1 patio breakfast at El Forneo, discount admission to various nightlife locations at the property, $500 in various coupons at various MGM Resorts properties, so you don't even have to stay at New York. You can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, these rooms can be booked for dates between now and November 30th, but you must book them by April 14th to take advantage of the offer. New York does charge a room fee as it is part of MGM's chain of resorts.
Yeah, I think it's like $15.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. If you stay at Hooters and purchase a Hooters coffee mug, you get free coffee refills throughout your entire stay. That's pretty cool, as long as the coffee's good.
Yeah, yeah. If it tastes like ass, then it's completely
right. That might be why they have the deal.
Circus Circus Steakhouse offers half-price drinks Sunday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
LVH is having a St. Patrick's Day hangover deal. You can get a free green beer in the Oasis from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. now through March 23rd.
You and I have talked about this, and I was actually, as we record the show, it is St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny we're not out and about, but we're delivering a quality show to you folks.
Yes, we are.
I was at Epcot today at Disney World, as I usually am on the weekends. And they were at the Rose and Crown in the United Kingdom. They had green beer. And you know, I made the comment to the wife, and I said, you know, I don't care. You know, it's St. Patrick. You know, I'm part Irish myself, so I've got, you know, my own way of, you know, having my Irish pride or whatever on St. Patrick's Day. But I don't care as long as I just want beer. I don't give a fuck if it's green or not.
Yeah, you and I agree on this. I don't seem to have as much of a problem with green beer, but everything else just disturbs me. Everything else, like when I see green with food and it's not, you know, of the vegetable variety, right. I tend to stay away. I believe that's how they discovered penicillin, and I don't care to discover the next one.
All right. B.B. King's at the Mirage is offering $6 Bud Light Platinums and $6 shots of Jameson or both for $10 during March Madness.
Nice. Brand Steakhouse at Monte Carlo is having an absolute vodka pairing dinner Tuesday, March 20th. Now, this menu is extensive. We're going to put a link on the blog, so if you're interested, you can check it out. They have multiple courses with pairings of various flavors of absolute vodka. So the dinner does start at 7 p.m., and it costs $60 per person.
Yep. They do have some interesting things on their menu, and it looks like they're getting pretty fancy with their drinks.
Yes, they are.
Very fancy. Legacy Stadium has a happy hour menu. From 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, you've got a slew of $7 and $5 items. The $7 items include beef, cheddar, and caramelized onion sliders with shoestring fries, buffalo chicken and blue cheese slaw sliders with shoestring fries, barbecue pulled pork and Creole mustard slaw sliders, and grilled chicken and cheese quesadilla. $5 items include jalapeno poppers with ranch dipping sauce, mini chili cheese dogs. Those sound delightful.
Yes, they do.
Pretzels and beer cheese sauce, tomato bruschetta and toasted crostinis. And then they've got drinks. They've got $5 single shots of the well spirit of your choice. And then $4 draft beers.
Cosmopolitan has an all-you-can-drink champagne deal. Vegas Chatter did an article about the deal, and you can purchase the champagne wristbands at any of Cosmopolitan's feature bars: Vesper, Book and Stage, Q Bar, Chandelier, and Bond. The wristbands will give you one glass of champagne at a time from 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. on the day of purchase. There are four tiers available in pricing structures of $35, $75, $110, and $150. Details of said champagne will be available on the blog.
And then for our final Vegas deal for this week, Tacos and Tequila at Luxor is offering a spring break deal. Six specialty tacos and six bottles of beer for $29. Not too bad.
Yeah, that's more my speed.
That's more, yeah, definitely. That is going to conclude our rather robust Vegas deal segment for this week. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to coming attractions. Starting off our coming attractions list for this week is Rob Schneider, who will be performing at the Orleans Friday and Saturday, May 11th and 12th. That show is going to start at 8 p.m., and tickets will range from $44 to $66.
Air Supply is performing at the Orleans Friday through Sunday, May 25th through the 27th. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets run $44 to $72.
Bare Naked Ladies and Blues Traveler and more are coming to the Joint at Hard Rock on Saturday, July 28th. That show is going to start at 8 p.m. and tickets will be $55.
Collective Soul is performing poolside at the Hard Rock Friday, June 8th. Show starts at 9 p.m. Tickets run $42.
Guar is at the Hard Rock Cafe on the Strip, Monday, April 9th. That show is going to start at 7 p.m. Tickets will be $20 in advance, $23 if you buy it on the day of the show.
Squeeze is coming to the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay Friday, April 13th. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets run $40.
And Joe Coy is at TI on Friday, June 8th. That show is going to start at 9 p.m. and tickets will be ranging from $44 to $61. Don't forget you can find links to purchase tickets to these and all the artists we report on our Coming Attractions calendar on the blog. That's going to do it for Coming Attractions. Let's move on to Annie Up.
Welcome back to another episode of Annie Up. I'm Matt, and with me is Daz, the guy who actually owns a Mariah Carey CD.
As a hero, Manny, if you look inside your heart.
How many do you own?
I physically owned one CD, which was...
No. How many's on your iPod then? Go modern media.
Probably a couple.
Yeah, you love her.
Dream lover, come rescue me.
Today's gaming discussion is the relative cost per hour between different table games.
The average social player often just wants to play for as little as possible, but doesn't want to always be playing slots or video poker.
I know sometimes my only reason for gambling is just to smash back some free drinks and have a good time. And when that's the case, I don't really want to lose a fortune doing it.
You want to smash back some male waiters is what you really want to be doing, buddy. Sorry, that's uncalled for. There are several games where comparisons could be made, but for our example, we decided to compare two of the most popular table games, Blackjack and Roulette, as we believe this would benefit you guys the most.
Now, with a bit of knowledge, Roulette doesn't appear to be a very good game to play in regards to House Edge. With a single zero wheel having a House Edge of 2.7% versus a basic strategy player in Blackjack with a House Edge of roughly 0.5%.
Just to clarify, though, it's only 0.5% in Blackjack if you're playing basic strategy, which from our experience, most people don't play correctly. Otherwise, the House Edge is as high as 2%.
Yeah, it's a big difference. Like we will be covering basic strategy in a few weeks.
Yeah, because that cuts 1.5% off a House Edge. Yeah,
you can't get bigger than that shaver. Yeah. That's huge. But in terms of hourly cost, a single zero roulette wheel can actually be really competitive with Blackjack and a lot of other casino games for that matter, because a player will always be making fewer bets per hour.
Blackjack game can offer between 50 to 200 bets per an hour, depending on dealer speed, side bets placed, and how many players are at the table. In Perth, the dealer speed is so slow in between hands,
though.
You could probably bat one out while you're waiting. Why you would do that, I'm not sure.
But
you could do it.
Gotta kill the time.
Roulette is a much slower game, in general, in Vegas anyway. You'll rarely have more than 60 spins per an hour, but generally 30 spins is the norm.
Now, for the sake of our discussion, you'll have to imagine perfect casino conditions. Let's say an average blackjack player at a full table bets $5 per hand, and he plays 50 hands per hour. That's an hourly turnover of $250. And if he loses 2% of them, that equates to a loss of $5 an hour. Compare that to roulette with 30 spins at $5 each at an hourly turnover of $150. With the house edge at 2.7%, the total loss per hour would actually be $4. That really sounds like we're splitting hairs there with the actual loss per hour. You're talking $5 to $4.
Yeah.
So it's not a lot, I suppose, but that's 20% difference. That's a lot of money.
And you're not risking as much. If worst case scenario did happen at a blackjack table in an hour, you could be risking $250 as opposed to roulette. You're only risking $150.
Yeah, so $100 difference. Like, that is massive. That's
like
a lot of money.
If your main aim is just to get some free drinks, like maybe roulette is technically might be the better game to play.
Yeah, with the less bets per hour, you're ahead.
Yeah.
If you wish to contact us with a gambling question, have a gaming story you wish to share, or have any feedback, you can find us on Twitter at 360AnnieUp, or drop us an email at 360AnnieUp@gmail.com.
He wants to knock back a few male waiters.
What did you say, crush?
Yeah, that's right. Smash back.
Smash back, that's what it was.
Brilliant again. Oh. Once again, Matt and Daz. Love those guys.
Our friends from down under, in Australia.
Oh, it's amazing. What are the odds? What are the odds on this planet that we were able to find two guys with the same damn sense of humor as we have?
It seems really low.
Right. But it's a whole world, Brian, and that's where we're reaching.
It's a great big world. That's going to do it for episode 39. We hope you enjoyed it. We certainly had a good time bringing it to you, as always. If you'd like to take a look at any of the articles or stories that we referenced on this week's show, you may do so, and much, much more on our blog at 360vegaspodcast.com. If you'd like to reach out to us, you can send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. Twitter.com/360Vegas, Facebook.com/360Vegas, and Google+. Otherwise, I think that's going to do it, unless you've got anything to add, sir.
No, that's going to be it. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for dialing, guys.